If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. A special shout out to J Group for tonight's horrifying tale. This is not just any ordinary scary story. This is a four-part series, tonight starting with part one. Tonight's video is about these Boy Scouts and Scout Leader, who travel up to Bronze Lake so the boys can earn their winter badges. But unfortunately, something goes horribly, horribly wrong. Sit back, relax, grab yourself some Wendy's, because I sure did, and stay tuned for tonight's story. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Greg crapped his pants. No, I didn't. And it was just a fart, asshole. Anyways, whoever smelt it dealt it, right, Dad? Greg stopped farting on everybody and read the rules for the winter camping badge again. That way the whole troop knows what they're in for this weekend. I already read them. Well, do it again. Steve wasn't listening. I could hear him snoring from up here. Steve! 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 Wake up, my dad said so. Wake up, Steve. We're going over the rules again for your personal benefit, okay? Oh, okay, Mr. Greppy. I'm awake. For winter camping honors, scouts must erect a tent in the snow and spend one night outside during the winter months. Sufficient cold weather gear must be worn at all times, and the scout leader will verify. As he went about the rules, I let my mind briefly relax and looked over the road ahead. Snow was piled up on either side of Highway 7, and the pavement was slushy but well salted. The landscape was different up here in the winter, I thought to myself. I had only been up here to the cabin in the summer. Ever since I could remember, I've been going up north every year to Bronze Lake. My family cabin sits at the end of the narrow peninsula, which serves as a grassy driveway to our tiny shack of a cabin. No electricity, no running waters, and no furnace. We would be chopping our own wood and building fires to stay warm. But the forecast had predicted mild weather, and we had plenty of blankets and warm weather gear. Be prepared, that's what they always say. So we brought all kinds of gear with us. I had gone for my winter camping badge when I was a kid, and had fond memories of the experience. We had gone hiking and had snowball fights and made s'mores around the campfire. But this was different. I was suddenly realizing with dawning apprehension. I had gone to a scout camp and there had been plenty of other people around, not to mention a heated cabin to go into when we got too cold. The minivan had plenty of gas and could keep us warm in an emergency. Unless it breaks down, a voice in my mind said. I tried to shrug it off. Right, Dad? I realized my son Greg had been talking to me while I was zoned out. What's that, Greg? I said the turn is coming up soon. I almost missed it, but slowed down just in time to turn onto the gravel side road. Here we go. Another 15 minutes or so and we'll be there. You guys excited? Yeah, came the timid reply from the back. Suddenly, the five of them were so quiet. Could they sense my apprehension? What do you guys want to do first when we get to the lake? You want to go ice fishing or have a snowball fight?
Snowball fight!
The chatter started up again, and I was happy they were conversing again at least and seemed excited. The side roads were icy and more slippery than the highway, and I slowed down considerably to navigate them. I heard Gibson whining from the seat next to me, and reached over to quickly stroke her fur. Our old Cocker Spaniel was getting up in years, but she had always loved going up to the cabin. Even she seemed nervous, though, I thought. Maybe she just needed the pee. We'll be there in a minute, Gibby. I told her soothingly. My words didn't reassure her. Instead, her ears perked up and she suddenly sat bolt upright in the passenger seat. Her eyes were wide and looking ahead. I looked out the windshield again, just in time to see something tall and lanky ducking into the trees ahead. It disappeared into the woods and was impossible to see as we drove past. A hunter, I assumed, just a very tall one. The man was easily 7 foot. Gibson settled back down onto the passenger seat, and I turned onto Brookside Road. It was even less well-maintained and the salt was sparse, causing the car to skid occasionally on the black ice. Continuing on this road for a while, I kept my eyes open for the sign that would turn onto Dryshire Lane. The gravel would turn into just 2 ruts of dirt and the grass once we reached that turn, and in the winter, with all the snow on the ground, we wouldn't even have that. I wondered if I would be able to drive up the steep hill that led to the cabin, or if we would have to walk the kilometer or so from there. "Here it is, boys," I announced, seeing the blue street sign they had put up the year before. Dryshire Lane. Gibson sat up to look as well, and all the boys quieted in the back. We had been driving for hours, and they were anxious to see the cabin where we would be spending the weekend. I was surprised to see the gate sitting open. Mr. Dresher had forgotten to close it, I supposed. Their property sat on the side of the road leading in, as did a few other cottages. We all knew each other up there. I wondered if somebody was way up at the lake ice fishing. What a relief, I thought. Just to have someone else around would be nice in case of an emergency. Seeing a car parked in the space beside the Dresher's cottage made me break into a big smile. I wouldn't have to be the only responsible grown-up on the lake for the weekend. Even if we never interacted, just their presence would be reassuring. I rolled down the window as we passed, and saw Mr. Dreshier coming out of the cottage. He appeared to be loading up his car to go home, I realized. My heart sank. So much for backup. "Mr. Dreshier, I guess we're just catching you on your way out," I called out the window to him. He appeared surprised to see us. He walked over to his car and put his suitcase inside hurriedly, then came over to the driver's side window of the minivan, taking quick little steps to avoid slipping on the ice.
"Hello there, young Mr. Grepp."
"Ah, you've got the scout troops with you as well, I see. Very, good to see you all out here." He looked nervous and his eyes met mine and locked onto them.
"Can you help me bring a couple of things out? I'm getting on in years, and my arthritis is acting up something fierce with this cold weather."
"Sure," I said. It was strange. I had never talked to the man that much, but I was happy to help. I got out of the van after putting the parking brake on and left it running to keep the boys warm while I helped Mr. Dreshier. Following him inside, he closed the door behind us.
"Listen," he said. "This is a mistake. You shouldn't be up here. You should turn around and go back. Just make an excuse. Say whatever you have to, but do not spend the night here."
The old man was losing it, I realized suddenly. What the hell was he talking about? "What do you mean, Mr. Dreshier? We just got up here. We drove 5 hours to get here." I started backing away from him as he twitched, and I saw a bit of foamy dribble pouring from the corner of his mouth.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I found the doorknob behind me with my hand. I turned around to look and he was on me, grabbing my shirt collar and pulling me towards him. He screamed at me with his face reddening and his eyes streaming tears.
"Do not stay the night, tree. The owls watch an insatiable wolf's feast and foraging mushrooms run rampant."
I pushed him off me and ran back to the van and pulling the door handle, my feet slipping on the ice and almost sent me flying. I grabbed the door and managed to stay upright, then leapt inside and hit the gas, driving off as we heard the old man screaming at us from his doorway.
"Don't stay here!
It's going to get cold. There will be no one here to save you from him.
His voice faded in the distance and the boys didn't say anything. I could sense six sets of eyes on me and the dog, all of them staring at me. Sorry, boys, I stammered. He's not usually like that. Is that supposed to make us feel better? Peter, the troublemaker, yelled from the back seat. I wasn't sure what to say. The whole weekend seemed to be going off the rails. Was he right? Should we just go back? I would have to check for the weather forecast once we got there, but it had called for some good weather just this morning when we left. Still, this whole thing seemed like a bad omen. The old guy's probably just off his meds, Steve muttered. More likely, he's self-medicating a bit too much with some mushrooms of questionable legality. Gibson was whining at me from the passenger seat, sitting up and staring at me, her eyes wide and worried. I kept left at the fork in the road and the tire spun a few times in the icy slush, but we managed to get up to the steep hill leading to the cabin. The woods closed in on both sides and all around us, suffocating in a way that I found vaguely uncomfortable. Which was strange because I had always loved the forest up here. We passed the other cottages and saw no one else that was at the lake, at least so far. I held out hope for a few icy fishermen who sometimes visited the colder months. At least that's what my uncle had told me. He also enjoyed ice fishing and visited the lake occasionally in the winter. The lake cleared in on both sides as we neared the cottage and began the drive down the narrow peninsula. At the lowest point, the water was just a foot away on either side, and this section occasionally flooded, rendering it impassable. Finally, we drove over a rise and around a bend, and the cabin came in the sight. The boys groaned from the back seat when they saw it.
This is it? It's just a frickin' shack. I told you guys it wasn't much.
It was slightly irritating hearing them criticize our family cabin, but they were just kids, so I just shrugged it off. I turned the car around in the slightly less narrow spot we used for that purpose and backed the van right up to the front door to unload our supplies. Relief flooded me once again, and I looked out to the lake and saw a fishing hut over there. It appeared well-maintained, and there was tracks leading up to it and around it. We weren't alone, after all. There would be other people on the lake for the weekend. I could always call on them for help. If the battery died in the minivan, for instance. It wasn't like we could call roadside assistance out there. And besides, the cell signal was spotty at best on the lake.
Look, boys, ice fishermen. Maybe they could show us a thing or two on how to cut a hole in the ice.
What, you don't know how to do that?
Peter again.
My dad said that an idiot can cut a hole for ice fishing.
I tried to come up with a snappy remark but came up empty. Instead, I settled for muttering something under my breath and getting out and slamming the door behind me.
Damn kid was already getting on my nerves.
Gibson was at my heels as I unlocked the door to the cabin and stepped inside. It was cold in there, but at least there was no wind. It was whipping pretty fiercely off the lake and felt brutally frigid out there. I went through the cabin and checked every room for wildlife and potential weather damage. We've always had problems with mice, and occasionally bats would get inside. But the place was fine, and there hadn't been any damage from earlier winter storms. Just the standard scatterings of mouse turds, cobwebs, and spiders. My first goal on my mind was to get some wood in the fireplace and start to warm up the cabin. We would keep it burning at all times, and I would have to keep reminding the boys to stoke the fire, and to keep the front and back doors closed, that way the place can stay warm. I went out the front door and found the boys were already building snow forts at a distance about 15 feet from each other. They were amassing piles of snowballs for an impending battle as well. Since there were five of them, it would be 3-on-2, slightly uneven odds. And the snow forts were already showing signs of that, since the one on the right was already larger. No sense interrupting, I decided, and just fetched the wood myself. You're only a kid once, after all. I would build the fire and get it going while they had their fun. In an hour or two, they would need to start assembling their tent, since it got dark early up there. I found some dry wood beneath the cabin where we stored piles of it, but kindling was another story altogether.
it was harder to find small pieces of dry wood. And by the time I found enough, my feet were beginning to freeze frozen and frostbitten. Back in the cabin, Gibson watched as I built a little teepee structure in the fireplace. She had been playing with the boys for a while, but now following me and watching me closely again. I couldn't help but get the continued expression that she was nervous about something. The slightly damp wood took a while to catch fire, but eventually, I managed to get it burning. I would have to keep an eye on it, I realized, as it was being temperamental at times. I went out and called for the boys from their snowball fight. They moaned and groaned for a minute, but then came over to the front door of the cabin, their faces red from the cold, but still no signs of wanting to come inside. I spoke from the top of the stairs and told them my expectations. They would have to start work on their tents immediately, since it was going to be dark in a couple of hours. 3 of you sleep outside tonight, 2 tomorrow night, since we only have one tent. Any volunteers want to go in the tent tonight? I noticed Peter, the constant pain in the ass, didn't volunteer for the first night. Greg and Steve and Ricky stuck up their hands after a few moments' hesitation. All right, so it'll be Greg, Ricky, and Steve tonight, Peter and Jeff tomorrow night. So you two are in the cabin with me and Gibson tonight. Help them put up the tent, then you all could come inside and get warmed up by the fire for a while. They gave their reluctant assent, and I went back inside and left them to their work. I remembered it being brutally cold when I had done my winter camping badge. I had kept my boots on all night and was afraid to even go outside the pee, thinking I wouldn't be able to get warm again afterwards. But I also remembered feeling like I had really accomplished something afterwards, and I was proud of myself for that. I checked the fire. It was guttering again, and I stoked it for a few minutes and put some fresh wood onto it to get it going again.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everything was a bit damp, and at this rate, the cabin would never get warm. I looked over and saw Gibson was shivering. I pulled her close to me and hugged her near the fire as I warmed my hands. The kettle caught my eye, and I remembered that hot chocolate was a thing that existed. What better way than to bribe the boys into thinking I was a good scout leader and professional adult? I filled the blackened old kettle up with water and put it onto the stove to boil. Then I grabbed the box of instant hot chocolate from our food supplies. The place was beginning to warm up slightly, which was nice, but I still kept my hat and gloves on. At least the dog was no longer shivering. By the time the boys came inside, I had mugs of hot chocolate ready for them, and they each drank theirs in big gulps without complaint, taking turns warming their hands by the fire and playing with the dog. There were suddenly wet boot prints all throughout the cabin, despite my constant reminders to take off their shoes before coming inside. But I decided to let it slide and took out the guitar while the boys made hot dogs and s'mores in the little indoor stove. The cottage was warm and lit with flickering light in the glow of a half dozen kerosene lamps. I nearly had a heart attack each time the boys got near one of them and was constantly yelling at them to be careful, since tipping one over could easily be the death of us all. As the night wore on, and after songs were sung and hot dogs were roasted and eaten, I decided it was time for bed. The 3 boys, including my son Greg, were sent out into the cold winter air to sleep in their tent for the night, to receive their winter camping badges. I felt a pang of regret and deep concern sending the 3 of them out there. Gibson began to whine and scratch at the door after they left. It wouldn't leave that spot. She fell asleep on the damp welcome mat later that night. I had a very difficult time falling asleep, and I kept getting up to put more wood on and to try to keep it going again. Gibson eventually got too cold and came over to the fire while I poked it, trying to coax more heat from the embers. She was shivering, and I brought her up onto the sofa bed with me. Peter and Jeff were sleeping in cots near the fire and looked warm enough in their sleeping bags, but I was freezing, since I kept having to get up to manage the fire. I managed to fall into a fitful sleep and had a terrible nightmare. There was something crawling at the windows and doors of the cabin. The wind was howling outside and the fire had long gone out. In my dream, I stood up from the bed and saw the two boys were frozen to death in their cots. They were blue with hypothermia, and there was frost everywhere inside the cabin. The windows were covered in ice, which was spreading rapidly, like a fungus, and fast forward. Screech, screech, screech. Someone or something is scratching at the windows and the doors on all sides. The sound is like the nails on a blackboard. Like something with talons or long claws dragging them across the surface. My heart is pounding. My throat is dry. I woke up and sat bolt upright, my body covered in cold sweat. Scratch, scratch, scratch. That sound. I could feel my heartbeat in my throat. My stomach felt like a ball of lead as I walked to the door. Gibson is scratching at it in a panic. At first, I think she just needed the pee again, but then I heard the sounds of the screaming from outside.
They're gone, Mr. Creppy! Greg, Ricky, and Steve, they're gone! Where did they go?
I ran over to the tent through the freshly fallen snow. There was no tracks anywhere to indicate someone coming and taking them. Nothing to indicate that they had left to go for an early morning hike. They were just gone. Their sleeping bags empty and the tent abandoned. Gibson looked up at me with her brown eyes wide and worried. I'm not sure, but they'll be back. They probably just went for a hike or something. But part of me knew that wasn't true. The weather was very cold, and the voice in my mind whispered back to me. You shouldn't have stayed there. You should have left when you had the chance.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.